Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
And I want you to open your Bibles to John 20. And I'd like for us to look at the life of Thomas in the Bible. In John chapter 20. And you can, by the way, you can do your review on your own and see if you can answer all the different powerful truths that we have learned from 13 different characters in the Bible. I tell you what, this is a rich, rich study. And just hearing Wayne's testimony about people encouraging made me think about the people that encouraged me. And I tell you, it's overwhelming. You know, they said recently that Dr. Billy Graham likened himself to a turtle that was put up on a fence post. Maybe you've seen that. He said, "I'm just a turtle that was put up on a fence post." Or he said, "I'm just a turtle on a fence post." And the lesson there is a turtle doesn't get on a fence post unless somebody helps it. And I think that is our story. That's all of our stories, is that God has used people to encourage and to help us along the way. Now, so you look at those different qualities, but I want to point out that many people call Thomas Doubting Thomas. And, you know, Thomas was the one that said, "I want to see the nail prints in his hands before I believe that he was risen from the dead." In John chapter 20, verse 24, the Bible says this: "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came." Verse 25, "The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have not seen the Lord.'" Excuse me, "We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Until I see his hands, in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.'" Number one in our lesson guide, Thomas may have been sort of melancholy. That's the blank there. Sort of melancholy, because if you go back to John chapter 11 and verse 16, he kind of had that personality. He was a little bit of a skeptic, and he kind of made some comments in Scripture that would lead you to believe that. John 11, verse 16. Well, let me go back to verse 13. "However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I am not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.'" Now look what Thomas says. "Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us go. Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" Because in Judah, they had already been threatened. Don't you know there are people that are, they're eternal optimists? Have y'all ever done these studies where they tell you what kind of personality you are based upon some kind of an animal? You know, like you're a lion. There are people that are lions, and they're like administrators, and they're visionaries and everything. There are some that are like golden retrievers. Kelly's a golden retriever. She's the most loyal. I tell you what, I could have done the worst job. You would have thought that was the worst sermon I have ever heard. And I'd go home and she'd say, "Honey, what a great message." You know, I love Kelly for that. That's her personality. And she has a lot of mercy. Now, I'm kind of an otter. You know what? An otter's out there playing around. Otters are optimists. They could say tomorrow, they could say, "Well, the offering was terrible today. People are discouraged. It's just been bad all day long. It's been bad in the church." And I'd say, "Well, look at the bright side. It can't do anything but get better." You know, there are some people that, and now don't get me wrong, you do that to me for a long time, and I may get a little discouraged. But the point is, I've kind of have that personality. Well, you need some people like Thomas so that when people say, yeah, we can do this, they'll say, okay, that's great. I know you think we can do it. Now, how are we going to do that? You know, you need some people that are realist. And I think Thomas in that was kind of in that way. Look in chapter 14 of John and verse 5. It says, and this is the great passage where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled because I go to prepare a place. Look at verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Thomas said what all the other ones were thinking. He just had the guts to say it. And so this is not a negative on Thomas. He was a skeptic, so to speak. He was a little bit of a doubter. But as you can tell, and you'll see later, boy, he was a great follower of the Lord. So in some ways he was kind of melancholy. Number two, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to everyone except Thomas. Now we just read that. And by the way, there's a little typo. John 20, 19 through 24, not through 20, 19 to 2, okay? Sorry about that. John 20, 19 to 24. So he was not there. Now here we learn some things about discouragement and about doubt. Isolation can bring doubt. The disciples were all together except Thomas. Why wasn't Thomas there? I don't know. We're not told. Maybe they said, hey, we're going to all be together. And maybe in his melancholy personality, he just said, y'all get together for prayer. Jesus is dead. I'm not coming. I don't know why he wasn't there, but he wasn't there. And we learned something about discouragement. Folks, can I tell you this? You know, the exciting thing, I'm so glad I was here tonight. Aren't you? I'm so glad I heard that testimony. I don't even want to hear this message, to be honest with you. After I've heard that testimony, I've had all I needed tonight. Because that encouraged me. It encouraged me to encourage somebody else. It encouraged me to go be thankful for the people that have encouraged me in my life. That's one reason you need a church. You need to be faithful to be around God's people because isolation can bring doubt. That's something we learn in the body of Christ, and we learn from Scripture, and we learn from Thomas. So, not only physical isolation, but even emotional isolation. You feel all outside. You feel like you're not a part. And because of that, it can bring doubts and discouragement in your lives. I heard a statement a preacher said one time, and I thought it was interesting. It said, our souls and our bodies live so closely together, they catch each other's diseases. You get down emotionally, you get down in discouragement, it can affect your health. You get down in your health, it can affect your emotion and your doubt and your discouragement. These things are important. And then there's a blank there, just one blank after the word diseases. I just want you to write the words C.S. Lewis, the author, C.S. Lewis. He writes in one of his books about being all alone in a hotel. He's talking about isolation. He was in some assignment where he was all alone, and he talks about being so discouraged because he was isolated. Even someone, a great thinker like Lewis, gave testimony of that. So you learn from Thomas in this way. Number three, Thomas wanted to see evidence. He wanted to see the evidence. In verse 25, it says, the other disciples therefore said, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, once again, he had the courage to say that. Maybe prior to them seeing Jesus, they were thinking the same thing, but maybe they were a little more reticent. There's nothing wrong with wanting evidence. You know, Christianity is not blind faith. People say, well, you just have to have blind faith. No, you don't. Blind faith is what Mormons have. Blind faith is what those that follow Islam have. Muhammad, they don't, it's not based on truth in history. It's not based upon a resurrection supernatural power like we have in the message of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with being one who wants evidence. And so this is what Thomas did. He said, unless I see the nail prints. And his search led him to the Savior. In verse 26, and after 8 days, Jesus said, peace to you. And he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. So he wanted that evidence, and it led him to the Savior. You see, doubt, the last statement there, number three, doubt can actually deepen your faith. And that's exactly what happened. Because of his wanting to have that evidence, when he finally saw the resurrected Lord, it deepened his faith. And let me say this, we don't know this from scriptural truth, but we do know from history. We believe from historians that Thomas is the one that took the gospel into India. Is that amazing? Thomas was that skeptic, and when he saw the nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ, and you know what he said here in verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him after he saw that, my Lord and my God. That's all he needed. My Lord and my God. He ended up taking the gospel to nations because of his belief and faith in the Lord. He was a follower of Christ. He just had that personality that he was not going to just jump on the bandwagon until he saw that evidence. So here's what we need to do. Number four, acknowledge your doubts prayerfully. Anything you question, the Lord is not frustrated with your doubting. So you acknowledge your doubts prayerfully, then you analyze the evidence. Remember, you will never know it all. You're not God. You're not going to be able to figure everything out, but I can promise you this. The Bible is true, but here's the thing you've got to realize. The Bible is true, but not all truth. Not all truth is in the Bible. Now, what is the Bible written to answer? How do you know God and know that you can spend eternity with God? I guarantee you that's answered. But every single piece of truth that there is in the world is not all contained right here, you see. And so you acknowledge prayerfully the concerns you have and you analyze the evidence because we have all we need to know, God. Everything we need in order to know God we have right here in this book because this book is full of nothing but truth. I have a book here that has helped me tremendously in my Christian life. I was a student at University of Florida, and I remember going to North Central. I remember having questions about things like, how do I know the Bible's true? How do I know if Christianity's true, then what about all the people that are in nations that have never heard about Christ? Are miracles really possible? All these kinds of things. And I got introduced to a book called I'm Glad You Asked. And I just recommend it to you. Ken Boa and Larry Moody wrote this book. And here's some of the questions. Why believe in miracles? Isn't Christianity just a psychological crutch? How accurate is the Bible? Why do the innocent suffer? You ever wondered that? Is Christ the only way to God? Will God judge those who have never heard about Christ? If Christianity is true, why are there so many hypocrites? So what about good works? Isn't salvation by faith too simple? And those are not even all the questions. They're handled by, in this book, it's been very helpful. I also want to share this with you. This is a little copy of a classic that Josh McDowell wrote called More Than a Carpenter. He says in the first chapter, he says, I thought the challenge was a joke. He was on a college campus and some Christians had challenged him to investigate the claims of Christ. And here's what he said. I thought the challenge was a joke. He said, but I accepted my friend's challenge mostly out of spite to prove them wrong. I was convinced the Christian story would not stand up to evidence. I was a pre-law student and I knew something about evidence. I would investigate the claims of Christianity thoroughly and come back and knock the props out from under their sham religion. That was his testimony. That's what he said. And then he writes later, he said, I even dropped out of school for a time to study in the historically rich libraries of Europe, and I found evidence, evidence in abundance, evidence I would not have believed had I not seen it with my own eyes. Finally, I could come to only one conclusion. If I were to remain intellectually honest, I had to admit that the Old and the New Testament documents were some of the most reliable writings in all of antiquity. And if they were reliable, what about this man Jesus, whom I had dismissed as a mere carpenter in an out-of-the-way town in a teeny oppressed country, a man who had gotten caught up in his own visions of grandeur? Then he says this statement, I had to admit that Jesus Christ was more than a carpenter. He was all he claimed to be. And Josh McDowell, after examining the evidence, and this is a great book, gives you a lot of great things to study about that. If you have any body that you're trying to witness to, matter of fact, we have them in our guest reception. We give them out to our guests because it's a powerful book about the reliability of Scripture and the evidence that is there for the claims of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you that, and the bottom statement is simply this, the bottom lesson from the life of Thomas. Doubting can make you stronger. Doubting can make you stronger. Now, Jesus said to Thomas in verse 29, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Because you see, we have the Scripture now and we have the witness that is within us. And so a lost man today can't look in the nail prints of Christ. But you know, even greater are the victories of those that have given their life to Christ because they have examined the evidence of the reliability of Scripture. They have seen the proof of it in your life and in my life, Lord willing. And as a result, they realize that Jesus Christ is real and they give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.